open your Bibles to the book of John, the 6th chapter. John chapter 6 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1123. Beginning with the 48th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 58. John chapter 6, verse 48 through 58, page 1123. And we'll read the verses responsively. May we please stand for the reading of this passage. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And let's read the 58th verse together. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And Father, we thank you so for your wonderful word. Thank you for the life-giving strength and health it gives to our spirit. We pray that you'd bless now in this service in a very special, wonderful way. Meet the needs of our lives. Bless with power our preacher. Give us attentiveness to all that's said. In Jesus' name, amen.
Read lightly over them such verses as, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. We've got to focus the idea of what it means. We read, Whoso eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. The bread that I will give thee is my flesh. And they, the Jews, asked, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? I want to speak this morning on the subject, how to eat his flesh. Now, it's going to require you to listen carefully. This is church time. This is time for us to feed on the truth of God. It's time for us to get strength for the weak. You don't need strength. You probably need it more than others do if you don't think you need it. But if you don't need it, there's someone near you who does. And someone who will not make it this week unless they hear what God has to say through his servant this morning. Follow me, please, carefully. Father, I don't know anything in myself worth telling. I have nothing in myself worth giving. I am nothing in myself worth knowing. But I have in me Christ, the hope of glory. And I have before me the eternal Word of God. So I pray you'd work through me this morning. I do not know how exactly, totally to yield myself. I want to, and I do as best I know how. If I thought by falling down now at this altar and screaming for mercy would help me have more power as I speak, I would do it. I do not know exactly what to do or how to do it, except as to say, Here I am. I'm yours. Here they are. They're yours. They need to hear. And I need to hear. what the Spirit saith to the church today. Speak to us through thy word. Amen. This morning, I'm going to give you 7 statements, and you will not understand the second unless you hear carefully the first. You will not understand the third and following unless you hear the first 2. You will not understand the 7th unless you hear the first 6. So give me your rapt attention. Statement number 1, we're commanded to eat His flesh. Right here in John chapter 6, we're commanded to eat the flesh of Jesus. Now what does that mean? Does that mean we come together and take communion and that blood, that bread actually becomes His flesh? Not at all. That bread is still bread when you take it. Does that mean that we drink His blood? Not at all. That blood, that juice is still juice when we drink it. But we are commanded. Did you hear what I said? We're commanded to eat His flesh. Number 2, if we do not, we have no life. Jesus said, if you do not eat my flesh, you have no life in you. But God knows I want to have life in me. So I want to know what it means to eat His flesh. I'm commanded to do so. I am to have no life in me unless I do. Then what does it mean for me to eat His flesh? Statement number 3. I said number 1, we're commanded to eat His flesh. I said number 2, if we do not, we have no life. Number 3, the idea is food here. His flesh as our food. Now follow me. Food, or to feed on Him, is for our strength. For example, you feed on the cornfield, the corn from the cornfield. The strength of the cornfield comes into you. Now follow me. The strength of the cornfield comes into you. So the truth is, the cornfield is your strength. So the cornfield in you builds the house. The cornfield in you cuts down the trees. The cornfield in you. Are you listening to me now? The cornfield in you. No talking. In you. Piles the stone. The cornfield in you lifts the roof in place. So it is not you, for you have no strength in your body. It is the cornfield which enters in you, or the wheat field which enters in you, that is the strength that does the work. So it is our duty to feed on Christ. That's what he means. We feed on the corn or the wheat chunks. We feed on them. And the wheat in us is strength. We're not the strength. The strength is the cornfield in us. So I feed on Christ. It is Christ in you that helps the poor, not you. It is Christ in you who preaches, not you. It is Christ in me that is preaching to you now. It is not me. It is Christ in you who teaches your Sunday school class. It is Christ in you who rears your children. It is Christ in you who wins that soul. It is Christ in you who resists the tempter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we faint for the same reason that people faint who don't have good nourishment. You do not put the strength in you, you will have no strength to do your work. And physically, you will faint. If you do not have the strength in you that comes from your proper food, then spiritually, you will faint. Now, how do we feast? We feast. We eat the flesh of Christ. Now, we have not yet gotten to how we eat the flesh of Christ. But I want you to know why we eat the flesh of Christ. Now, you listen to me. This church has not been built by a preacher. This church has been built by Christ in us, the hope of glory. This church has not been built by flesh. It's been built by divine strength. And that strength comes as we feed on Christ.
just as we sit at the table and feed on the cornfield. And the cornfield in us builds the house. The cornfield in us puts the plumbing in the house. The cornfield in us works the bank. The cornfield in us cleans the house. The cornfield in us paints the building. The cornfield in us does the work. And Christ in us, we feed on Him, we eat His flesh, and He, through us, does the work. I said, number one, we're commanded to eat His flesh. I said, number two, if we do not, we have no life. I said, number three, the idea is food. We feed on Him for our strength. Don't leave me now. Number four, we must learn how to eat His flesh. If it is true that we're commanded to eat His flesh, and if it is true we have no life if we do not eat His flesh, and if it is true that the idea of eating His flesh is for food, then somehow we must learn what it is to eat the flesh of Christ. Now hear me carefully. Don't move. The flesh of Christ was the expression used for the human life of Jesus. It is only God incarnate that we can feast upon. Are you listening? Man could only look at the Father with awe. Nothing in man could repeat itself or could imitate the Father. And nothing in the Father could repeat itself in man. I look at God the Father and see His majesty. I cannot have that majesty. I look at God the Father and see His omnipresence. I cannot have that omnipresence. I look at God the Father and see His omniscience. I cannot have that omniscience. Now hear me. I must find some way to get food and strength for my service, my life, my preaching, my teaching, my living, my serving. And the Bible says I've got to eat His flesh. Now, what does it mean? It means the flesh of God incarnate. I could not be like God the Father. He is majestic. I could not be like God the Father. He is omnipotent. I could not be like God the Father. He is omnipresent. I could not be like God the Father. He is omniscient. So, here comes the incarnation. Christ, God incarnate. God in flesh. What God is saying, if you want strength, you don't get strength from God the Father. You get strength from the flesh of God the Son. For I can see Him as He fed the poor. I can feed the poor. As He clothed the cold, I can clothe the cold. As He preached the gospel, I can preach the gospel. As He cheered the sad, I can cheer the sad. As He lifted the fallen, I can lift the fallen. That's why it says, as He is, so are we in this world. We are to be like Him. We cannot be like Jehovah God. So Jehovah God compressed Himself in flesh, and God became flesh, the incarnation of the great God Himself. And He says, now, feast on My flesh. What He's saying is, feast on Jesus. That's what He's saying. I said, number one, are you listening? We have been commanded to eat His flesh. Now, so far, we haven't found out how to eat His flesh. But I said, number one, we've been commanded to eat His flesh. I said, number two, if we do not, we have no life. I said, number three, the idea is food. Feed on Him for strength. I said, number four, we then must learn how to eat His flesh. Listen carefully. Number five, before we can eat the flesh must die. The hamburger you want to eat at McDonald's after a while is because some flesh died. Every bit of strength that you have in your body is caused by the atonement. Something died that you may live, but that something must die. You can't eat living lettuce. The very fact that you eat it severs it from its growth and its life, and it must die. You can't eat a living animal. It must die. And before you feast on Christ, he must die. Now follow me carefully. John 12:24, he says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. What is he saying? He's saying before we can eat his flesh, he first must die. I said, we are commanded to eat his flesh. I said, if we do not, we have no life. I said, the idea is food for strength. I said, we then must learn how to eat his flesh. I said, that flesh must die. Now follow me. Once that flesh has died, it is now ready to be eaten. It's time to wake up. Some people come to church, they know they're going to sleep, so they set their alarm. I was down and preaching at a big convention out in Colorado the other night. Several thousands of people were there, and there was a fellow there who was a guest from Australia. And he heard I was there, and he ran up to me, and he shook my hand, a pastor from Australia, and he said, oh, Dr. Hiles, I've wanted to meet you. He said, I've wanted to meet you. He said, all over my church, my people listen to your tapes. He said, you're our hero. And he said, my teenage boy, he thinks you're the greatest preacher that ever lived. He had a very, very wise teenage boy. And he said, he thinks you're the greatest preacher that ever lived. And he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, the truth is, every night my boy goes to sleep listening to you preach on tape. And I said, that's nothing. Every Sunday my folks go to sleep listening to me preach in person. He's not the first person that sleeps after that sermon, during that sermon, tell you for sure. Well, I wish you wouldn't bring your alarm clock with you. That is rather embarrassing. We'll wake you up when the sermon is over. You see, I look at the Bible and I say, how do I eat it? He said I'm supposed to eat his flesh. Well, I want to, but how do I do it? Okay, I must find out first what his flesh is. His flesh is God incarnate. I must eat and feast on Jesus. That's what Paul meant in Colossians 2:27 when he said, or 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've got to get Christ in me before I can have strength. I've got to get corn and wheat in me before this body can have strength. I've got to get Christ in me before my spiritual man can have strength. That means I've got to eat his flesh. But how do I eat his flesh? First, he dies. And number six, it is now ready to be eaten. But how is it eaten? When Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit came to indwell every believer. This did not happen at Pentecost. Mr. Schofield is wrong on that. This did not happen at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit did not come to indwell the believer at Pentecost. He came to indwell the believer upon the resurrection of Christ. Jesus himself said the Holy Spirit is not yet given because Christ is not yet risen. And when he came to the upper room there, when his disciples were, he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. So upon the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit came. Now, why the Holy Spirit came? Okay, we're supposed to eat the flesh of Christ, right? We're supposed to eat the flesh of Christ. That flesh cannot be eaten in order for us to gain strength until it dies, right? All right. Then the flesh of Christ has died. Now it's risen, and comes the Holy Spirit as the waiter to serve us the flesh of Christ. And that's the way you eat the flesh of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes at his resurrection or at your conversion. Those of you who this morning in a few minutes, all of this building, will walk down these aisles receiving Christ as Savior. Many of you will kneel at these altars and ask Christ to come into your life and make him your Savior just in a few moments. And when you do come, let me tell you what's going to happen. A person is going to come in your body to live. And that person is the Holy Spirit. And that person will feed you the flesh of Christ. It does not mean that he'll feed you some of the arm of Jesus or some of the stomach of Jesus off the cross. It means that you will feast upon the flesh of Jesus in the fact that he is the incarnation or was the incarnation of God. And by the way, he always was human. He's the human one of the Godhead. Not sinful humanity, But the humanity wasn't made to be sinful. Humanity was made to serve God in perfection. Bible says that Paul said to Timothy, he said, there's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. He's right there at the right hand of the Father now. Who is he? The man, Christ Jesus. He always was a man. He always will be a man. Now, wait a minute. He's the one we feast upon because we can only feast upon flesh. We cannot be like the Father. We can't be like the Son. I look to the Father and I say, Father, I want to be like you, but I don't know how to be like you. I can't see you. I cannot hear you. I cannot comprehend you. Your spirit. And I can't be a spirit like that. I don't know how to do that. You are majestic, and I don't know how to be that. And you are omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. I don't know how to be that. And he said, okay. He said, let me show you what I am. And so Jesus, in a sense, was God's object lesson to let those of us who are in the beginner department, as it were, look and see what God was like, that we may fashion ourselves in the image of God, or better still, be fashioned by His Spirit in the image of God. And as we are fashioned in the image of God by His Spirit, we are then eating His flesh. Now, there are two ways He feeds us the flesh of Christ. There are two ways the Holy Spirit feeds us the flesh of Christ. Number one, He has a book. Isn't it interesting? We always get back to that, don't we? No matter what I preach on, we always get back to that, don't we? Always do. I mean, actually, we preach the same thing every Sunday. We just have a bit different introduction, that's all. Always get back to the book. Years ago, when I first came here, and many of you have heard this story, many of you haven't. First came here, in those days I was homesick for Texas, and I didn't understand a lot of the customs here, and we were having some battles, and one morning I was preaching on Jesus, and I got to 1 John 5:7, he that hath the Son hath life, and I totally blacked out, absolutely blacked out. I couldn't tell you the next thing in my outline, I couldn't read my outline, I just was stuck, and so he that hath the Son hath life, and so I stepped back and I said, He that hath the Son hath life. I still couldn't think of what I was saying. So I stepped back and I said, He that hath the Son hath life. I still drew a blank, just like the sailors do all the time. And I stepped back and I said, He that hath the Son hath life. And I still got stuck. And I stepped back again. He that hath the Son hath life. And I still couldn't think of what to say. I stepped back. He that hath the Son hath life. I still drew a blank. I stepped back. He that hath the Son hath life. Got home that morning. Little Becky, our daughter, was 7 years old. She's now 35. She's 7 years old. She came running in the living room and she said, Daddy, the record got stuck this morning, didn't it? And tears came in my eyes and I said, But honey, if you're going to get the record stuck, isn't it a wonderful place to get it stuck? On Jesus. We always come back to Him. We always come back to His Word. All I've said this morning is, it sounded a lot smarter than it was. All I said this morning is, we're supposed to feed on Jesus, and the way you feed on Jesus, the Holy Spirit feeds Him to you. After He's died and risen again, the Spirit comes, and He has a book. And you're not going to feed on Jesus unless you feed on His book. Didn't Jesus say Himself in the Matthew chapter 4, and I think it's verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Now you listen to me. It's the book. It's not Christian radio. It's the book. It's not Christian TV. It's the book. It's not the daily devotional book. It's the book. The book. What the Christians in America need is to turn the radio off and get the book out. You're not a good Christian because you listen to 18 preachers one after the other on a so-called Christian radio station. You're not a good Christian because you listen to the latest scuttlebutt about the latest TV evangelist. You don't eat the flesh of Christ by listening to a preacher on the radio. You don't eat the flesh of Christ by even coming here. You're not being fed right now. We say, feed the sheep. And what we're supposed to do, I'm not supposed to feed you. I'm supposed to tell you where the food is and go feed yourself. I'm directing you to where it is. It's in the book. It's in the book. God's people need to be people of the book. And so, God tells us We're commanded to eat his flesh. We do not, we have no life. The idea is food. Here Christ in us. We must learn to eat his flesh. That flesh must die. It is now ready to be eaten because it's dead and risen again. The Holy Spirit is the one who came to serve us, and he served it through his book. Now listen to me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now you listen to me. That means there's got to be some place in this world where I can find every word. Didn't say man shall not live by bread alone, but by every thought that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Every word. Now, if I cannot feed on Christ unless I feed on every word somewhere, there's got to be a book that has every word. I believe with all my soul that that very book I hold right there in my hand has every word that proceedeth out of the Father. I do not believe God for a single moment would leave his people without every word. John 15:7, you abide in me and my words abide in you. Not my word abide in you, my words. My words. Ask what you will. Didn't say if you abide in me and my thoughts abide in you. Didn't say if you abide in me and my version abide in you. Didn't say if you abide in me and the Greek abideth in you. It says if you abide in me and my words abide in you. How can I live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father? Now listen to me, folks. Listen to me. I'm talking about Jehoshaphat beget Jeroboam, Rehoboam beget Rehoboam. Jehoshaphat beget all the fat fellows and Rehoboam beget all the Boam boys. I'm talking about every word of that book. I'm talking about the genealogy of Matthew. I'm talking about the genealogy of Luke. I'm talking about the kings of the Old Testament. I'm talking about the kings of Judah. I'm talking about you are not going to live and eat the flesh of Jesus Christ until you live in this book. You live in this book. The words of this book. Every word. Not somebody's devotional book that takes four words out of it. And then those four words have a little poem under that and a little thought under that. You think you had a devotional time with God. No, sir. Man shall not live by daily devotional books. Man shall not live by radio programs. Man shall not live by TV programs. Man shall not live by devotion. Man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. And that's why you're puny. You're not eating the flesh of Christ. And you eat the flesh of Christ as the Holy Spirit comes and instructs you about that book. One of these days, I'll be gone. Watch it. Come on, he said. One of these days, I'll be gone. You'll walk by and you'll see my puss. And I'm worried about it when I die. The thing that worries me the most, I'm afraid you won't fix my hair right. Don't part my hair in the middle. Part it down here close to the shoulder. I'm telling you, where's Brother Alt, my undertaker? Brother Alt, don't forget, it's parted way over here, man. Don't you leave me a bald-headed bowling ball when I die. Buy a toupee. I worry about that. That's the only thing I worry about dying. But you're going to pass by and you're going to see me in what's left of me in the casket, my body. And if you have lived by hearing me preach, you'll not be able to live anymore. But if you have lived by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father, when you go home from the cemetery, blessed be God, you will still have the same thing to feed on you had before I died. I long for you to be strong Christians after I'm gone. I long for you to be standing for Christ and running the buses and winning souls and walking with God and feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and helping the poor and reaching the unloved and caring for the uncared for a long time after I'm gone. But you're not going to do it unless you live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. And then, not only does the Holy Spirit feed us the flesh of Christ by His book, but he also feeds us the flesh of Christ by his leadership in things not covered in the book. Every detail of your life cannot be covered in this book. The Holy Spirit is not given to tell you what to do until you finished obeying the orders of the book. The Holy Spirit never gives you orders outside the book, contrary to the book. But since there are some things not listed in this book that come to your own individual life, the Holy Spirit comes and says, these things not covered in that book, I am in you and I will lead you to know what to do. So how do you eat the flesh of Christ? Two ways. Let the Holy Spirit lead you as you read every word of this book. And secondly, beg Him to lead you as you walk your daily walk. The Holy Spirit doesn't, the Bible does not tell you which way to drive to work tomorrow morning. Holy Spirit must do that. Bible does not tell you what to wear tomorrow morning. It tells you some things not to wear. It also tells you to wear. But the Bible does not tell you what to wear tomorrow morning. Holy Spirit has to tell you that. Bible does not tell you which car to buy when you buy a car. The Holy Spirit must tell you that. So the Holy Spirit says, I'll feed you the flesh of Christ from every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Then He said, if you want to eat the flesh of Christ, beyond that, you yield yourself to Me. And I will direct you to eat the flesh of Christ. I said, number one, we're commanded to eat His flesh. I said, number two, if we do not, we have no life. I said, number three, the idea is food. Like the cornfield in you builds the house, Christ in you does His work. I said, number four, then we must learn to eat His flesh. I said, number five, that flesh must die. I said, number six, now that that flesh is died and risen, the Holy Spirit comes to serve us His flesh, to let us be like Him as we follow the book the Holy Spirit has written for us and as we follow His individual leadings in our lives. Then we can be like... Now, wait a minute. We can be like Him. Why? Because that's the way Jesus became what He was. Now, follow me. Would you like to be built like this? Would anybody here like to be built like this? Some of you are built like this. Crutchfield, you're built like this. Keith, you're built like this more than this is like this. Let me tell you how to be built like this. All you got to do is follow me around and eat exactly what I eat. McNuggets. Cheese quarter pounder. French fries. Reese peanut butter cups. You eat like that, you can be like this. You can. All right. Then if I want to be like Jesus in His flesh, how can I be like Him? I eat what He ate. What did He eat? When the devil came to tempt Him, the first thing He said, it is written. Second thing He said, it is written. Third thing He said, it is written. Every word. How was Jesus like He was? The Bible says He, through the Spirit of truth, He, the Holy Spirit, Bible says He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, when He preached back in the synagogue, it said Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. So how did Jesus become like He became? He ate this book. And He ate the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then He turns and says, you can be like Me. She was just a little girl. She sits back there this morning. Our baby girl, 27 years old, born shortly after we came here. She used to stand on the hearth of our fireplace and sing and put a little dress up like all little girls do when they sing. And they can become ladies that take them off, go mix bathing. I mean, but she used to sing and Cindy would sing, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask. To be like Him all through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask, to be like Him. And I used to sit and weep. And I'd say, that's what I want. When Dave was a little boy, he started riding home from church with me every Sunday. I wait in council and I ride home later. Every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, Dave would wait sometimes an hour, sometimes 2 or 3 hours. I'd have to wake him up sometimes on Sunday or Wednesday night. We'd always wait to ride home with Dad. And when he got married, then Cindy started doing the same thing. And Dave went to his first Sunday school class, and as a little boy in Texas, I was pastoring there. We're driving home from Sunday school, and I said, "Dave, what did you learn today?" And Dave looked at me with his big old eyes, brown eyes. He said, "I learned about God." The first time he wasn't in a nursery. First time he was actually in a Sunday school class. And I said, "Son, what did you learn about God?" And Dave said, "I learned that God loves me." And I said, "What else?" He said, "I learned that when I'm bad, God spanks me and does He spank hard." And I said, "What else?" And he said, "I learned that after He spanks me, then He hugs me and He tells me it hurt Him worse than it hurt me. Dad, are you God?" And I said, "No, I'm not. But I hope after you've been in our home 18, 20 years, I hope you still get me mixed up with Him. And I hope you still think I'm God or like Him." The week before he left our home, not to live in our house anymore, the last Sunday he drove home with me, the two of us, now he's grown, we drove down Sibley, turned down to Kane, drove down Kane to Calumet, drove down Calumet to May, drove over on May Street to Columbia. And just before we got to Columbia, there used to be a Miles Maywood garage there on the right on the corner of Columbia and May Street. I was trying to keep him crying. I knew that was the last trip he'd ever make with me home after church, after all those years. And I wasn't able to say anything. We got just in front of that Miles Maywood garage, and Dave said, "Ed, are you God?" I said, "Do you remember that? 18 years ago. Do you remember that?" He said, "You told me that you hoped after I'd been in your home 18, 20 years and I left, I'd still think you were like God." And he gave me the greatest compliment I've ever received. "Well," he said, "Dad, I've been in your house now all these years." He said, "You're the nearest thing to God I've ever seen. I want to be that. I'd like to remind you of Him occasionally. And I can't be like Jehovah. He's a spirit. I can't be omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent. I can't be that. I can't emulate His majesty. But thank God He gave me a visual aid, the incarnation of Himself in flesh. And I can try to be like that. Because He was like He was in the power of the Holy Spirit. And He gave me that same Holy Spirit so that I might be able also to eat His flesh." Father, I've tried to...